We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I know President Trump likes to take credit for the economy and the economic growth and the low unemployment numbers. But just look at the facts, not the alternative facts. President Trump inherited an economy from Obama-Biden administration that was given to him, just like he inherited everything else in his life.
Ooh, Joe Biden's just cutting straight to it, I guess. Donald Trump has nothing to do with the booming economy, and I can't wait to hear what our guest Stephen Moore has to say about that. Stephen, with the Heritage Foundation, chief economist there. I guess you should be thanking the Obama administration for this wonderful economy, if you ask Joe Biden.
Well, that was quite a rich claim by the former Vice President Joe Biden, because when we came in, we reversed everything Obama did. He raised taxes, we cut them. He increased regulation, we got rid of them. He put us in the Paris Climate Accord, we got out of it. He put us in the Iran deal, we got out of it. I mean, you just go down the line. You know, we used to joke with then candidate Donald Trump, you know, just do the opposite of everything Obama did on the economy, you'll be just fine. It was, it's so interesting, because I remember on the campaign, you know, when people would say, oh, Donald Trump is lying to the American people. We can't grow the economy 3%. I mean, my goodness, the Messiah didn't grow the economy in 8 years at 3%. How is Trump going to do it? And the fact is that all the same people who said, like Joe Biden and Barack Obama, that if Donald Trump was elected, he was going to cause a second Great Depression. Now that the economy is booming, by the way, not a single year that Barack Obama was president, not one out of his 8 years did the economy hit 3% growth. Guess what? Trump's done it in the second year in office. That's a pretty amazing accomplishment. But every single member of the Harvard faculty, people like Paul Krugman and people like Larry Summers and the New York Times and Washington Post editorial board, CNN, they all said that Donald Trump is lying to the American people. We can't do this. He's going to cause a second Great Depression if he's elected. Now we have the best economy in 25 years. And they say, oh, this is just the Obama effect. And you know what I say to that, by the way? This is the Obama effect. It's the effect that Barack Obama is no longer president.
Yeah, very, very good point. We're speaking with the chief economist at the Heritage Foundation, Stephen Moore, and you can check out his book, Trumponomics: Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. You have advised the president on economic matters, and you've been involved in these conversations for quite some time with the president. What was the overarching focus up until from the campaign up until this point, where now we are seeing some success for this? Was it to reverse what Obama was doing, or was it to build upon what Obama was doing?
Just reverse it. I mean, I can't think of too many exceptions, maybe one or two things that Obama did that were good for the economy, but almost everything else, the tax increase. Remember the $830 billion stimulus plan? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The big spending plan and the shovel-ready projects, that was a complete failure. Obama, the Obamacare was a failure. It was supposed to, they called it the Affordable Care Act. Of course, it made health care less affordable, not more affordable. They should call it the Unaffordable Care Act. And then remember Cash for Clunkers, and we had, $10 trillion of additional debt added to our national debt situation. I mean, it was a pretty poor performance. This was the worst recovery from a recession since the Great Depression. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had 8 recessions since the end of World War II. This was the weakest recovery until Donald Trump got into office.
So we're hearing from presidential candidates like Bernie Sanders, among other, who have a very socialist approach to the economy. It seems to me like If they were to win in 2020, that they would reverse everything that the president has enacted.
I think that's right.
And what?
I think you're exactly right. You know, so that's why if we're going to make this election in 2020 a kind of voter choice between Obamanomics and Trumponomics, good. That's good for us, right? Let's do it. Bring it on. Yeah. Let's let them explain why they doubled the national debt in 8 years. Let's let us explain why they thought their agenda was going to give us 4% growth and it averaged 1.9% growth. Let them explain why it is that when Barack Obama left office, we had a measly minuscule, weakling 1.5% economic growth rate, and how Trump's brought it up to 3.1-3.2% in 2 years. I mean, you just go down the line. Did you know we have 1.5 million more jobs in this country than we have people? Even if you put every unemployed person into a job, we'd still have a million and a half jobs left over. That's how good this economy is under Trump. We're seeing middle-class workers see wage gains. Even the Obama people themselves admit that about 90-95% of the gains under the Obama years, to the extent we had gains, went to the top 1%. Trump is creating a rising tide that lifts all boats. The lowest income workers have gotten the biggest pay raises. Did you know that?
No, I mean, those types of numbers are numbers that you hear people go on stage at their town halls to try to get the Democratic nomination. And they would tell you that wages aren't growing. They tell you that they have an explanation for the jobs numbers. They basically try to explain away without too much detail that the Trump economy, as you're explaining it, doesn't really actually exist. Is that just a ruse to get elected, or what are they looking at that you're not?
Of course, it isn't like I've worked on campaigns. You know, you're going to say it's embarrassing, the liberals, right? I mean, mm-hmm. They're totally embarrassed. They really did believe that Trump was going to cause a second Great Depression. I mean, do you remember when they said that in the campaign?
Yeah.
If Donald Trump is elected, he's going to cause a second Great Depression.
Yeah.
Well, he was elected, and now we have the best economy in 20 years. That's a little bit of a hard circle to square if you're a liberal. You know, wait a minute. Now they're pivoting. Oh, well, this is just a continuation of Obama's policies. I mean, now look, if I were them, I'd be saying the same thing, right? I mean, what else are they going to say? Donald Trump's knows what he's doing, that he's pro-growth, that he's a pro-business president. They're mm-hmm. never going to admit that. And so they're trying to, you know, spin this. And my point is, look, the American people get it. I'm with the 72% of Americans, according to the latest polls, that think the American economy is going in a good or great direction. You know, and you don't spin that. And people don't vote against prosperity. This is the most prosperous period, especially for the job market, we've seen in your and my lifetime.
Hey, Stephen, this is Tony Colombo. Real quickly, I know that there's a whole lot of factors that go into it, and this is not a 20-second answer, but if you could answer it in 20 seconds, what is the number one thing that the president did do to spur the economy? I always say it's deregulation, but I don't know if I'm right. What was the number one thing that started to turn things around?
Well, we did three things. Well, we did the deregulation, we did the tax cut, and we promoted American energy. So those are the three policy changes. But it's more than that. It's that we have elected a pro-America, pro-business, pro-American worker president. We have replaced a community organizer with a businessman who knows how to run something. He knows how to run the economy. He knows how to put people to work. It's made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I agree. I want to ask you about going forward into the 2020 campaign, and then if he were to get another term, what he would be doing in the next 4 years of being in charge of the country. How does he take the prosperity that we're seeing right now and further it for, you know, the middle class worker and make sure that we get our spending and our deficit under control?
So I would do a number of things. First of all, I would continue to expand out our energy infrastructure in this country. We're the number one oil and gas producer. Ladies and gentlemen, if you elect a Democrat, you're going to elect somebody who believes in some kind of Green New Deal, which
yeah.
would destroy. It would destroy our energy industry. It would destroy our coal industry. It would destroy our oil and gas industry. It would destroy our nuclear industry. It is one of the most dangerous ideas I've ever heard. And by the way, it will do nothing to reduce global warming because China is building 100 coal plants. They're using all this stuff. And it doesn't matter even if the United States didn't exist, the carbon emissions would increase under these other countries. So I think that number one, he's going to promote American energy. Number two, we've got to get a pro-America energy, immigration bill. I love the bill he came out with last week. Let's move towards a skill-based system so we get the immigrants into this country we need who will be contributors. And look, most immigrants do contribute to our economy, but let's get the best and the brightest and the hardest working, the people who start businesses. And then I think we need to do something. You're right. We need to do something about this debt. We've got to get government spending down. I'm so frustrated right now. I would like the president to call a war on government waste. I believe we waste $500 billion a year in Washington. $500 billion a year.
Yeah. That's the other part of tax reform has to be spending reform. It's impossible probably to do spending reform before you do tax reform because...
Well, the problem is, I hate to burst your and my bubble, but, you know, the Republicans don't want to cut spending any more than the Democrats
do.
I mean, the politicians like to play Santa Claus, folks, and they like to pass out free money even though they're just writing hot checks for it. And, you know, I'd like to see Donald Trump get tougher on the spending. I've told him many times, Mr. President, start vetoing these spending bills. When Nancy Pelosi sends you a fat, obese spending bill, we can't afford, veto it.
How do they get to the point where you can cut the fat out of what we are constantly spending on politically? Every time you want to cut a single dollar, they talk about how people are going to die literally, and then they campaign on it to try to
do the penny plan. You know the penny plan.
Mm-hmm.
Cut every agency of government, every one of them. You cut 1 cent out of every dollar they spend. So instead of spending a dollar, they spend 99 cents. And the next year, instead of spending 99 cents, they spend 98 cents. And the next year, instead of 98 cents, they spend 97 cents. And you do that for 5 years. And after 10 years, you balance the budget. So it's really not that difficult. You just have to have some spending discipline. And look, you're telling me that an agency can't live with a 1% cut?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I mean, they could live with a 15% cut. I mean, this is what private companies did. This is what households did. Remember when we had the recession, we all had this stuck in our stomach and lived, you know, more frugally. The only institution that never sucked in its stomach and tightened its belt was Washington. You know, it's so frustrating. I live in the swamp. We're three of the five richest counties in America are here in the swamp because we get rich off of everybody else. We don't produce anything here.
Well, we need a President Trump if we ever want anything like that to happen, and hopefully some legislators to do the same.
He's put together some great budgets, but it goes to Capitol Hill, even under Republican Congress. They say, we don't want to cut these programs. We want to increase spending.
Yeah. Well, in 2020, we'll have to be sure to not just look at the top of the ticket, but down the ticket and put people in there that are going to be fiscally responsible, because I think it's one of the most important things to our security in the future.
Thing, by the way, if I may, because I forgot to say this, I mean, we've got to continue and we've got to, we've got to win this trade fight with China. You know, China is a bad actor. Trump is fighting the right fight here. I mean, this is the epic battle of our time. It's not going to be resolved in the next year or two. You know, that's why, you know, can you imagine if you put Joe Biden in the White House? He's a total pacifist. He's a China sympathizer.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll get something done?
You know the Beijing government wants Biden. They don't want Trump.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You think we'll get something done at the G20 summit by the end of June?
I do. I think we're going to get, some new trade deals that are fair to America, create a level playing field. I don't like tariffs, but with China, their behavior is so outrageous. They're involved in cyber espionage against the United States. They steal our intellectual property. They have not created a level playing field. They're not opening up their markets. I mean, this is the right time. I mean, we got to stand by Donald Trump on this one, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I do for sure. I think he's at the helm, and he's taking responsibility. And it's good to see somebody willing to stand up to this for once.
Where were the Bushes? Where were the Clintons? Where were the Obamas? Why didn't they ever stand up to China?
Yeah. And certainly you look at some of these other people running on the other side of the aisle. They're not going to do it either. Chief Economist at Heritage Foundation, Stephen Moore, author of Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. Always a pleasure to have you on here. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
All right. See you guys. Have a great week.
Yep. Take you care. As well. That you can follow him on Twitter at Stephen Moore. He is an economic advisor of the president's during the campaign, and he does it regularly. He's talking economics, and there are things that he disagrees on with the president, but certainly things that he has agreed on as well. So always a pleasure to be able to speak to somebody who has the ear of the Oval Office. That's pretty fantastic. When we come back, we're going to speak with Illinois State Representative Brad Halbrook. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. Why? Because he's been talking about a Chicago separation. If you are in the state of Illinois and you are sick and tired of constantly going the way of the corrupt Chicago politics, Brad Halbrook's proposing something that could solve that problem. We're going to ask him about that Chicago separation in just a minute. If you have questions that you would like me to ask of the state rep, then you can put them on Twitter, at Annie Fry Show on Twitter, and we'll get to State Representative Brad Halbrook in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.